This is Richie Incognito of the Buffalo Bills. You're listening to Locked On Bills, presented by Cover One.
We are live on Locked On Bills post-game reaction show. Kevin Masseri, you just saw me 4 hours ago, here with Aaron Quinn. Aaron, a lot different attitude from a couple hours ago, huh?
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, but good to be back with you here, man. Talk about this real quick.
Yeah, we'll keep this to 20-25 minutes. Sorry, guys, we'll probably keep it limited on the chat interaction, just because we want to, you know, keep our show good and running pretty smooth here. Aaron, first reactions you got for us?
Totally disappointed, man. You know, I talked about a letdown kind of all week. Saw it kind of coming as just a fan. Saw that possibility coming, and here it happened on the national stage. Kind of a tough game to watch. Really frustrating. And just, you know, disappointed in the play on both at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate that it's one thing for this game to happen. It's another for it to be your one primetime game. You basically axed yourself from future primetime games. You axed yourself from the national exposure of anyone thinking anything. McDermott came out and his staff, they laid an egg. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. We praise them. They've given a lot of praise. They laid an egg tonight. They were out coached. Todd Bowles had a great game plan on the defensive side of the ball, stacked the box with five man defensive line who pretty frequently ran the same exact defensive front. We were unable to beat it. So Aaron, any quick thoughts you saw from the Jets defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, they were just really dominating the line of scrimmage. The Bills did do some things that seemed funny to me. I guess we'll have to watch it again when the tape comes out, but it seemed like they were playing in tight, which allowed them to stack the box instead of spreading the Jets out a little bit, which kind of was counterintuitive since they were getting pressure right as soon as the ball was snapped. So maybe they're outcoached. It's also hard to, you know, stick with your game plan when you're getting punched in the mouth. All those sacks being given up, that kind of messes with play calling and things that you want to try to accomplish. I mean, right off the bat, that first play, Tyra takes a sack. It was like a 6-yard sack right on that first play of the game. So
we could start up front with the offensive line. They weren't very good. I don't know what happened to Cordy Glenn. I don't know if he wasn't healthy, if he didn't come ready to play. I mean, just as he was getting back to form, he has one of his worst performances I've actually ever seen.
Yeah.
It would take me lots of film to go back over his years of play to see if he's ever played this bad before. To me, he was awful. Him and Vlad Dukas were awful. Both were fairly decent over the last couple of weeks. I don't know what happened or what the Jets saw or what scheme problems they possessed. Muhammad Wilkerson plays, and like you said on the pregame, caused a lot of problems for this team. Him not playing could have individually been a difference in this game, like we were expecting. You know, Morris Claiborne being out didn't end up affecting the game. I don't think it was a great game. I actually thought the only couple people that played okay might have been Tyra. Tyra Terra had no time to throw. I don't even know how you grade him positively, negatively. I just don't even know what you're supposed to do with that game plan. I mean, I thought, you know, Wood was okay. I saw Richie doing okay. I actually didn't notice Mills too much. I mean, but Vlad Dukas and Cordy Glenn single-handedly kind of changed the way that you were supposed to play this team on offense. Did you see anything on the offensive line or anything I missed there?
I mean, Wilkerson always seems to give the Bills line a heck of a time. It just seems every time we play the Jets, he's right there in the backfield making plays. I didn't seem to be impressed at first glance with anybody on the line, to be honest. Said Woods and Richie played fine. I'm sure they played all right, but nobody was really just getting. I mean, there's
I think Glenn played that bad, or Glenn played that bad, Aaron. I mean, it was generally Glenn and Dukas here and there.
Oh, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I don't think anyone played.
No. I mean, it was tough to recognize who would have done well because of how bad some of the other offensive linemen played. I would be absolutely shocked if Glenn doesn't show up with a very, very poor PFF grade. And, you know, we'll bring that to you throughout the week. I think the team missed more than just a big wide receiver. I don't think they were ready. I think the traveling hurt them. You know, I think it's easier to play a home Thursday night game. Although, I mean, we haven't had great success at home doing it. I think it's a lot easier. You're not traveling. You're able to rehab. You're able to be in your own bed. I think it does matter. Thursday night games just have been such trash to me.
I hate them.
They don't make a lot of sense on the player personnel front, on protection, any of that. I thought the officiating tonight was horrible. I thought it was one of the worst officiated games I've seen this year. And that's coming from, we've had Pete Morelli game. We've gotten our God, who did we have last week?
Hockley.
Oh yeah, Hockey League. We had we got the Hockey League game out of the way. Those are two of the worst refs to me.
But I didn't feel like there's any like officiating was bothering me, but even if the officiating was good, I think the Bills.
Yeah, no, that's not to take away from the score or the result. I think just think that just piles on. Sure. There's obviously there were four or five calls that were awful, including that onside's kick that I had to watch. It was one of the worst calls. Seriously, one of the worst calls I've ever seen. Called an offsides and it just wasn't there. You know, you made up some rule about not being able to hit a quarterback in the helmet. You're never allowed to hit a quarterback in the helmet. You didn't throw a flag, but you got us twice on it.
Tyrod doesn't get a lot of those, man. Like he doesn't always get hit in the helmet, but a lot of late hits on Tyrod that other guys get and he doesn't get. I don't know if it's because people just assume because he's a mobile quarterback. I really don't know where that comes from. That one was pretty blatant though. And that definitely gets, I mean, it was a flag 10 plays before that or whatever.
I just think if you're protecting one, you protect the other. Right. If you're leaving it a little lenient or up for negotiation, fine, let them go. But you call two other ones. I mean, and I'm not saying neither of them were or weren't. They look to be on the Bills. I think you need to make that call. Yeah. You need to make the same call there that you did earlier. Coney Ealy, when the game was just about on the fringe of being still a game, you missed an offside where he got to Tyrod Taylor, got to his arm and broke up a pass. Clearly offside. I mean, it was clear. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I hope this officiating crew takes some knocks for that. It was a really poorly officiated game. Luckily, like you mentioned, might not have mattered, but you can't be fumbling the ball. Your receivers just can't. If your quarterback's turning the ball over, okay, that's one thing. If you're trying to make a play, you know, trying to force into coverage, even the best ones do that. Aaron Rodgers does. Right. Brett Favre did. You know, guys throw interceptions. It happens. But at the same time, you can't have your tight end getting up and dropping the ball. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Like that one was a tough one. That play, he gave up himself. Like that one's a tough one for me. The Jordan Matthews one hurt to me a little bit more at the time because I thought they would really get 3 points out of that and tie that ball game up. I think it was 10-7 at the time.
Yeah, just those two plays alone, no other plays. I mean, that makes it a 7-point game. Right. I mean, it just and then Leonard Johnson, another Leonard missed Johnson. Opportunity.
4 to 6 plays, man. Every time, 4 to 6.
Yeah, it is. And I pick that off. And 4 to 6 plays can either give you a 10-point win, they can get you a 10-point loss, or in this case, it only ended up being a 13-point loss. But it could have been.
It was a bigger. Yeah,
it could have been a 30-point loss. Sure. Based on 4 to 6 plays. Can be anywhere from 10 points one way to 30 points the other. You mentioned it. It's definitely a thing. You know, between a little bit of poor officiating, a little bit of poor fumbling, not turning the ball, not getting an interception there. I think you know, you got to say what it is. The Bills have been pretty poor on the road for as good as they've been.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible.
They've scored 21 tonight, which was lucky, but they scored 6 or 3 in Carolina. 20 in Atlanta, but 7 of them were defensive on a 50-50 call, and then 16 in Cincinnati, 21 tonight. But I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on with the road losses. I don't know if it was this week just happened to be the short week. I mean, everything just lined up pretty poorly right this week. And I kind of mentioned that in the pregame show that, you know, short week, trade deadline, just a lot of news. Team was getting a little overhyped for where they were at. And the Jets, man, I was trying to say it on Twitter all week. Like Bills fans were just kind of talking about 6-2 and talking about it all week. And I was like, guys, pump the brakes, man. This Jets team's not bad. They still have a good defense. We've said it all along. And if they can just get the ball going, I didn't expect the run game to blow up the way it did for the Jets.
There's no explanation for that side of it. The run defense. I mean, we've seen the run game offensively disappear at times. We've seen, you know, we've seen some sacks. We've seen some this, some penalties. We've seen some this and that. I've never seen the run defense was awful. I don't know if they didn't see something, if they were tired. They were
reminded me of Rex Ryan run defense. Like
it was bizarre. Run all over. It was very bizarre of a performance. And
yeah.
I mean,
tackling just wasn't there like it's been all season. I mean, I tweeted it out earlier. Trey White, I love his tackling. And then basically after I sent that tweet, I guess I'll take the credit for it happening. It just went downhill from there. Everybody was weak arm tackling attempts, just not fundamentals like they've been doing. And I know that's driving McDermott nuts on the sideline. He's got to be losing more hair than he already has.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just no explanation for the poor defense. Like, the offense wasn't great. You should have had a grinded out 14-13 game, 17-14 game. Those games are, you know, how you win. Defense did not show up at any level. They need to take their due on having, you know, to me, close to 2-3 straight poor performances on defense. They need to correct some stuff here in the 10 days and hopefully get Gaines back, who's an immediate help to that defense.
Oh, big time. And that's the thing here too, is I do want Bills fans to pump the brakes a little bit on the, like, the sky is falling kind of talk on Twitter right now. I know it's tough to watch a loss like that, and they get us all hyped up all week that we should go beat the Jets, but this is a good team. It's a division game. Those games are never easy unless you're, you know, a top tier team, and the Bills aren't that. Nobody's ever said that they were. They're borderline wild, you know, fighting for a wild card playoff team. And there's a ton of season left, guys. We got 10 days here. We're going to get Charles Clay back. We're going to get EJ Gaines back. Kelvin Benjamin's joining the roster. Like, things might be okay. Yeah, I've said all along, we got to win the 3 out of 4, right? So if we can still beat the Saints, that's 3 out of 4 coming out of the bye. That puts you in a really good position still. So,
yeah, I mean, it definitely does. I mean, it just definitely, like, but it puts a lot of pressure on that game.
Sure.
That you didn't necessarily, you shouldn't have had that. I mean, you got to go on the road and win. Otherwise, it's a sunk cost. I mean, it's a sunk season if you can't go on the road and beat a, although no one should have been looking past the Jets. It's a game you must win. It wasn't just, like, here's the difference. It wasn't just Bills fans saying, you know, the Bills need to win this game. It's important. I mean, it's people that are unbiased. It's national media. It's people saying this Bills team's played well. They've beaten some decent teams. This is a game that absolutely we've watched the Jets play. They watch every game. You know, we've watched the Jets play on film. The Bills need to win this game. They're more talented. It's a time to make the right step to the right play. They did it. So it's not just, it wouldn't just be Bills fans saying, oh my gosh, like, we looked past this team and, you know, I'm so upset, blah, blah, blah. It's, they were supposed to win this game in everyone's eyes, on the road, favored. And, you know, they just didn't get it done. So I'm not sure what happened. I'm sure McDermott's either talking now or has talked. He'll be interested to go back and kind of look at that. And, I mean, there's nothing else. There's nothing else to it. You know, take a couple of just professional questions here. What was Taiwan's injury? Looked like he broke his arm.
The pro football doctor said it looked like maybe a dislocated elbow or something. Yeah,
could be done for the near future, we'll say. Yeah. Definitely potential of some type of IR designation there based on how bad that elbow is. So Bills lose their third running back. Look for Joe Banyard to come back, unfortunately. It's a minor loss. But I think that swap's big. And, like, I like Jones a little bit more than Banyard.
Asking about Zay. Looked like Zay came back, then he re-injured it. I'm sure that was more, he was feeling frustrated. He probably still had pain the whole time. You don't just come back without any pain after that type of injury. So I'm sure he had pain the whole time and just went on it wrong. I don't think it's going to be a big injury for Zay. I'd be surprised if he's not playing against the Saints in 10 days.
Yeah. And I mean, he's had, someone saying in the bright side, play the Saints at home. That's not a bright side to me. I mean, they're a really good football team.
Yeah, they are.
I'd pretty much like to play a lot of other teams or one of the hottest teams in the league. Yeah. I mean, going home is good in general, I guess, to play.
And having 10 days is nice.
Yeah. Anyone, you know, but the Patriots. Sure. I mean, the Saints are up there to me. They're a really good football team.
They're super good. And somebody saying, oh, the Whirling Winds, but I think they beat the Bears mostly running the ball. The other week they had a nice ground game, so it's not like it's just Drew Brees getting back there and throwing for 300 yards.
With Kamara, they're winning with Ingram. Right. They're doing, that's what's scary though. That's they're running the ball. They haven't done that in many years.
Sure.
So that's why they're getting their wins, because they have a quarterback that's better than Josh McCown. So we're going to have to see what corrections the Bills make, get back home, have a couple of extra days to kind of think it over, get a premier target on the field in Benjamin. You know, there's nothing more to say about the upcoming game. We'll get into that here in Lockdown and Cover One over the next 10 days, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I don't see much more as far as it looks like. Mostly people are just kind of talking amongst themselves. So, yeah, again, I'm not trying to be overly optimistic here, you know, switching between my fan hat and analyst hat here. But I don't think we should get to, you know, take this game and just say this is who the Bills are this year. I think it definitely showed some vulnerabilities to the team, but you have 10 days here to correct it and move forward into the second half of the season. We're 5-3 at the halfway point. That's better than pretty much everyone expected, right? I hate to be that guy, but You and I were both saying 7-win minimum team, and they can still get there, guys.
Yeah, I mean, they will reach that minimum, you know, when many thought that, you know, there's no way they get to 4. You know, it is better than people thought there. We'll see what happens from today. Yeah. I mean, the Bills were relatively healthy, and then all of a sudden you get, I mean, nothing major, but 3 or 4 injuries off a Thursday night game. I mean, that's why they're not good. You can take a healthy team for as a case study, no injuries for 8 games of the year or 7, 8th game, you have a Thursday night, and it was, you know, Taiwan and looks like just a Humber was in and out.
Yeah.
Zay in and out. I mean,
Shady had a groin at some point and he just didn't look right the rest of the night. So I don't know if there's something to that. That would be maybe something to keep an eye on. It didn't seem like it was an injury necessarily, but just maybe something to keep an eye on going forward.
Week. No, absolutely. He didn't look right and changed the game to me. Yeah. He didn't look right. I saw one specific play where he ran for 3 yards and didn't cut. It wasn't LeSean McCoy like.
That one big run, that first big run he had, he heard it.
Yep. He heard it up
his groin. So not good if that's going to be an issue. Something definitely
positive on the end of the Jets, and I think they knew it. They tweaked their game plan a little bit, and it really showed. Like I think they knew it. I think the defense communicated that LeSean didn't make that cut there. We're fine. He's not.
I saw a lot out there right during the game on Twitter. People still ripping on Tyrod, and if I had to give one game ball in a losing effort, I think Tyrod played super well. Like you said earlier, like it's hard to play when you're getting zero, you're getting sacked. What do you get sacked 7-8 times? Just the pocket was collapsing all night. Guys weren't getting open, but not a whole lot he could do. I don't put this loss on Tyrod at all.
I don't think you can. I mean, you can't take anything positive necessarily from Tyrod out of it. But you definitely can't put it on. You can't put it on him. You're just not rational. If you think that he had any time to throw, you're just rational. You're irrational to think that anyone else that could have came in here, Nathan Peterman or even whoever you want to call it, Josh McCown or any other quarterback of average stature or decent stature would have came in at that offensive line performance. There was no time. I mean, they called the perfect game plan like we just talked about. I've seen this the second LeSean went out with the groin. They continued to push up the box a little bit. You know, Mike Tolbert is not very good. I do think that was a lack of play on the Bills' end to not address that. And Taiwan's hurt now. They didn't use him in the running game too much anyways. With a Joe Banyard / Mike Tolbert backup running back situation, that's not good. I mean, you're running team first. I don't like the depth there. I don't like for someone that harps on the Bills actually having good depth. I don't like it there. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. Not putting a better backup running back there. Mike Tolbert's a fine third/ special teamer. Absolutely. Definitely better than Banyard. It's fine to be on the roster. I like the guy. You just do not have a number two running back, and it's an absolute need in the top 80 picks next year. I don't think there's any doubt. Especially you need a guy like that. If LeSean McCoy has another groin, you need to have a guy that can come in and continue to beast. I mean, the Jets have 3 competent running backs. I don't know that any of them are super good. McGuire looked all right. I was just dissing him on the pregame for not using him.
Forte, out of nowhere.
Yeah, Forte out and kills us every time. Just like you mentioned Wilkerson, I swear Forte gets us. He got 3 on us last year in that Thursday night game. I had a couple at the week 17. I know we were packing it in, but he's got to have like 15 touchdowns on the Bills. I mean, he absolutely just lives up for AFC. They were up for the game. They were home. They looked rested. They weren't a team mailing it in after a couple of losses when they could easily have been thinking about draft picks. They could have easily, and I was kind of factoring a little bit of that in, Aaron, that they were factoring in that they're looking to look at the offseason at 3-5.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be interested to check out, the PFF ratings as those come out here this week, because the Bills were kind of average across the board. And I think you're going to look at that line and see, I think Cordy's going to drop pretty bad. I think DeCosta is going to drop even farther, and you might see some guys on the defense that you weren't expecting. I mean, there were some missed tackles all over the place. I mean, the Bills really the Jets played good and they had a good game plan, or they played well and they had a good game plan. But a lot of this tonight was the Bills beating themselves and just not playing, not trusting the process, I guess, if you want to say that, but not playing the fundamental football that has gotten them to the place that they've been at going into this
and,
game.
And in reverse, I think the Jets played almost a nearly perfect football game. Like they did. They didn't turn the ball over. They had a couple of breaks. They had a couple of fumbles, very similar to how the Bills have been winning specifically.
But those fumbles, the Jets didn't really cause any of the fumbles, right?
Like, right. They did. I mean, it's lucky. I mean, you know, in a way that's, you know, that's just, you know, just playing a perfect game. You're just getting lucky.
Yeah.
Which further, you know, alludes into your almost perfect play. I don't think they did anything bad, you know, especially before those last random two touchdowns at the end. I didn't see any poor play. They were absolutely coming at us. Actually, what I've wanted to see the Bills do in games when they're up by 7 or up by 4 or up by 10, continue to come at us. They did. Yeah. And they finished the game
in three
games when they didn't do it in the past. So there was a lot of evidence on the table. It was that you tied game going into the second quarter. You got to reset off that awful start. Played a pretty okay second quarter. Nothing crazy beside that Matthews fumble. And then just came out in the third quarter and just retired. I don't know. That third quarter was like a Dick Duran third quarter where it's just so bad.
Yeah. Well, it was like actually it was opposite of what the Bills did to the Raiders in the third quarter a week ago, right? Or 4 days ago, whatever. So, you know, that's how the Bills won that game. And they just came out and were the better team in the second half. I'm not trying to take anything away from the Jets either, but it just seemed like a lot of those third downs, Bills were just missing a tackle or something to continue the drive, or you know, they had the guy in the backfield and all of a sudden he pops off an 11-yard, 12-yard run, and it's just like they were right there, just missed the tackler, didn't follow through with the play.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have a number two corner and a number one receiver and potentially number one tight end coming back to their team. I mean, those are three big pieces that absolutely push you to, even one of them can push you to where you need to be. You know, Nick O'Leary goes to a number two role, you know, solid number two tight end. I mean, Jordan Matthews goes to more 2-3. Zay Jones just has started to come up a little bit. Hopefully his injury is okay. He's going to a 2-3 role. I mean, you got, you know, Deontay Thompson's a great fourth receiver to me. Played with some heart and really started to play out there for me. Yeah. Like when a lot of players to me quit. Deontay Thompson's out there balling. Tyrod Taylor's out there balling. So Aaron, any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. And at this point in the season, instead of, you know, people talk about winning the games you should, they're going to have to win some games that they're not supposed to in order to, you know, keep that playoff hope and push alive. And I hate for it to be like that, but, you know, McDermott talks about it, how resilient you are in the face of adversity is what type of team they're going to be. Yeah, so we'll see how resilient they are.
And I mean, you have at New England, at Kansas City. You have those two games. I mean, you got to pull one of those two out. Those are two teams that you're competing with. They are the top of the AFC. I mean, you need to pull one for your AFC record. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You can't drop two to New England, one to KC. Like that would give you zero room for error at any point this season. Bring that, you know, those three hard games right there, bring you to 5-6. Say you take care of the Colts, you're 6-6.
Sleep on the Chargers at this point.
Yeah, they wouldn't sleep on the road too. let's point that out. It's a different game here. Right. It's on the road. We haven't seen anything that shows that we can beat anybody on the road. So all of them are going to be tough. KC, LA, we have four road games. So it'd be New England and Miami, four fine teams. I mean, four teams that you could lose all four of those. You could win three out of four. I mean, it's could go either way on that, Aaron, but you know, I did want to do a quick shout out to PFF. You know, leave a review on a Locked On Bills iTunes account. You know, if you do, you have a chance to win an Edge account for the year. You know, that's pretty cool. We use PFF all the time here on Locked On, you know, so go leave a review on our Locked On iTunes channel and for a chance to win a free PFF membership. It's worth a lot of money, really good value there. But you know, finish the show up with what do you want to see?
I think you got to enter your Twitter handle.
Okay, enter your Twitter handle on that review, so we know who you are, and so we can choose you to win. But yeah, give that a shout. It's worth the PFF membership just to leave a nice 5-star review for us. Aaron, any quick final thoughts for the viewers? Anything you want to see over the next 10?
Yeah, no, I want to see Eric get into this film and really break down, because there's a lot of people ripping on Dennison today, saying, you know, I think it's an easy thing to say, like, oh, hey, you just had a bad game plan. But I want to really see, I'm not a scout, so I want to see what Eric has to say about that and really look at the film and see where the breakdowns were. So keep an eye out for that, guys. You know, Eric's going to be ripping up this film as soon as he gets a chance, if he's not already.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we still have some chat going on, you know, nothing really worth, you know, going after here. Some Jerry needs to keep his composure. I don't know, whatever. I mean, at that point in the game, it was a miserable spot. I've been known to say a thing or two at a ref at that point in a game when they've just been awful. But in that one, I don't really care. I don't really. When it comes to like the passion of the game, it means he cares. I don't really care at that point in the game. He didn't hit anybody. He didn't punch anybody. He didn't touch a ref. He didn't, give a terrible late blow on a quarter. He just kind of said his thoughts, and we were all saying it on Twitter. So, I mean, I don't really care about 15 yards when they're down 21. I don't. I'd rather you care about the game. So that's kind of my thought on Jerry Hughes. I didn't really see anything egregious there.
I don't know what he said to the ref. He obviously said something because the guy told him to stop a couple of times. I mean, My problem is Jerry Hughes continues to do it. Right? It's a pattern of behavior with Jerry Hughes of just doing things at the wrong time. I'm not in that particular situation. And like you said, I don't have a huge problem with it, but Jerry's got to, at some point in his career, stop doing these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to know. I mean, if he did get told to stop, I mean, I don't, it looked like he did at least a time or two there, but at that point, another miserable performance, another miserable spot. He's frustrated, but true. I guess you can't really get caught up. I mean, say you're one thing, say it twice, I guess. And then, the second time you got it in, they're not going to change the spot. McDermott was presumably going to review it. So that's my thoughts on Jerry Hughes. A little bit different than what we're normally used to with him being a little bit overzealous on the quarterback. I just thought hard luck on Cedric Thornton, wanted to get that in there. I thought he played a great game. Part of the reason why the Bills traded Darius was because he's been playing okay. Would have had a second sack. He's just completely unlucky. And that's, I don't want to know if that's one of your 4-6 plays, Aaron, but it's close. The difference between 3rd and 15 and 1st and 10 on the 15.
It's a big one.
I think it's got to be close to your 4-6 plays.
Oh yeah.
It's just unfortunate on that. And primetime games, it just Bills aren't showing up.
Hated it all week.
In the same old Bills. I don't think that holds any credence or any water when you have basically 7 players from last year's team and a whole new coaching staff. I've talked about this with different people. Everyone has their own opinion on what same old Bills means. It doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean anything when you say that. It means something to a fan because you're used to that feeling. But to the players, they've even said, like, we don't know what that means when you say something like that because we haven't been here. So I don't know.
Yeah, Thursday night games are weird, and I think they're weird for every fan base thing. People come out of those games not knowing what to make of their team, and the teams go on to do something totally different. So I don't think it's just to the Bills fans. We just see it under a microscope because we're Bills fans.
And we only get one a year too, man.
We only get one a year, and we're emotional. There's an emotional attachment to 17 years.
To get to that 6-2 so bad. We were trying to the statistics would have just been such in your favor, and we just can never seem to make that final step. I agree. 5-3 is a great start.
I'm not mad at it.
5-3 to start the second half or to finish the second half is great too. That's 10-6 that gets you there. But 5-3 in the second half is going to be tough. I mean, you're going to have to beat New England once. You're going to have to beat Miami maybe twice, depending on what you do in the other games. I mean, you need to take LA. If you drop New Orleans, I mean, that leaves a little less room for error. Possibly you're 5-4 and really starting that. You got to make sure you correct things because you're going right to LA and then right to KC. So you need to make sure, with KC and New England twice, kind of your room for error games, Aaron, that you're not dropping. If you're dropping a Miami game, you need to pick it up with New England. There's no other way to it. You need to beat New England at home. This Jets team almost did. You need to take it. I actually, and I'm going to go on record, and I actually said this when the Bills beat the Jets week one. I think the Jets are better than the Dolphins. I do.
Oh, yeah.
They're 1-1 against each other. We're 1-1 against the Jets. I think it's safe to assume that the Jets should have won the second game too. That Jets team should realistically be sitting at 5-4 minimum.
They got robbed in that New England game. That's what talking to fans, like, people thought we were just going to walk into this game and pound the Jets out of town. And that hasn't happened very much this year to the Jets playing against good football teams. Like, the Patriots are struggling, but they're still a really good football team. And they almost went in and beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and once again, the Jets really are, like you mentioned, 4-6. I mean, they're like 1 or 2 plays away from being, a solid maybe 5-4, maybe 6-3, and a winnable Tampa Bay game that could get them to 500. So, I mean, you got to be careful with them now that they've beaten you, now that they have an equal tiebreaker on you. Got to be careful with the Jets. They're no easy feat. That's just a point that I do think they're on, you know, so you need to take both Dolphins games if you drop to New England. I mean, it's just straight up, or you need to steal one of those. You need to go 4-2 in the division. I mean, that's it. I mean, you need to go 4-2 in the division with a Jets loss. You leave limited room for error now. If you do drop a Dolphins, I mean, you got to get it back with the Patriots.
Yeah. I just, you know, for my mental stay going forward is just taking it a week at a time and enjoying it. The team is overachieving still to where I thought they would be and where most people thought they would be. They got a lot of nice pieces. Let's just take it a game at a time, see what they draw up in the next 10 days. And if they do beat the Saints, we're all going to be right back to where we were a week ago, right? Like building up playoff hype. So.
Yeah, 5-3. I mean, I did my schedule prediction is even on lockdown. I had them at 4-4 at this point. So
yeah,
it's a game plus game for me, plus a game, but a plus two would have been real nice surprise, plus one game for me and 4-4. And I think Aaron, I mean, for the time when I did it, like right before the Jets game, my 4-4 through 8 was pretty positive for most people's predictions. Like, you know, many were even betting against a 4-4 start. I mean,
right.
So, you know, going 5-3 should make you happy. It's the second half. I thought that New Orleans game would be a little easier. I'm scared about going to LA and KC. So
sure.
I don't blame you. 4-4 might be enough this year for wild card spot 6 at 9-7. All you gotta do is keep being happy, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, just enjoy this as it kind of, like I said, take it week by week. They got 10 days here between games. Hopefully they can figure out something, fix what's going on here, and make another push here to start the second half of the season.
Absolutely. And, you know, from Locked On, you know, went a couple minutes longer. You know, we really appreciate everyone tuning in. Had a good showing here today. Appreciate anyone keeping it professional. Sorry we didn't get to more questions. Wanted to keep it you know quick show, quick between us. Once again, check out PFF, you know, give us a review for a chance, leave your Twitter handle for a chance to win that PFF Edge membership. And you know, from Locked On Bills, we really appreciate you tuning into both shows. We're sorry we didn't bring better news, but you know, we really appreciate the following and the support here. And you know, hopefully we'll have better things to talk about. Calvin Benjamin, don't forget him. Calvin Benjamin to go over in the next week. Him being on the practice field the next Monday, it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll take a little sting off. Going into a challenging, really good 6-2 versus 5-3 football game next week against the Saints, Aaron. So from Locked On Bills, I'm Kevin Misery. That's Aaron Quinn. You know, thanks for tuning in.